All right, and we are here with Lindsey Graham. You just got sworn back in again today, huh?
Yeah, the new Congress. I got to walk Senator DeMint down. He got reelected overwhelmingly, and I was honored to escort Jim down and stand behind him when he got sworn in. New Congress, new lease on life. It's really exciting.
It is exciting. You know, this is a big gavel you have sitting here on your desk. What's the significance of this?
Well, I've been a judge advocate, a military lawyer for about 25 years now, and the Air Force Judge Advocate General's Corps gave me this gavel. And you can't see it at home, but it's a big gavel, and a lot of times I want to use it on people.
Well, you know, I see you all the time on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Face the Nation. Yeah. You know, you're on all the TV talk shows. What do you think with the swearing in of this new 112th Congress? You know, Joe Wilson told me this morning he couldn't wait to take off the 111th pin and
yeah.
put the 112th in. What do you think? Do you think there is hope for the
well,
future?
Well, sure there's hope. I mean, as long as there's hope, you know, as long as there's breath, there's hope. I think that's our state motto or something like that. The way I look at it from the Republican Party's point of view, this is a second chance. Mm-hmm. In 2006 and 2008, we lost our majorities. I think we kind of lost our way. The Iraq War was unpopular, and so we suffered defeats in 2006 and 2008. From 2008 to 2010, the Democratic Party got off in the left ditch. The stimulus bill, the Obama health care, the financial regulation bill, adding trillions of dollars to the national debt, just an excessive increase in the size and scope of the government. We were elected not because of people liking us as Republicans, but because people wanted checks and balances. So the House is now in Republican control. These new members of the House from South Carolina are going to be on the leading edge, tip of the spear, reform efforts to get us back to 2008 spending levels. A lot of families and a lot of businesses had to basically cut their budget. The federal government has never had to do that. It's time that we start setting priorities like families. I'm going to try to do some things on entitlement reform. It is now time to adjust Social Security. For people 55 and under, we're going to have to adjust the retirement age because we're living longer. And people in my income level, we're going to have to means test our benefits. You'll get a check, but it won't be what has been promised because we can't afford it. So what it means this election cycle, it means that we've got a chance to address our debt, our spending, long and short-term financial problems. And if the Republicans, along with Democrats, will do that, the approval of the Congress will go up. We're at 13% in the eyes of the American people mm-hmm. as an institution. And I think that's a result of us not being able to find common ground and living a life that most people can't relate to. Very few families or businesses can borrow money without consequence, can spend if there's no tomorrow.
Right. That's true. Now, but what do you think between the balance between the Senate and the House? Now, the House is, shall we say, on fire. Okay.
Yeah, right.
What do you think the Senate will be able
to
do?
Well, the two institutions are different. The House is a two-year term. It's a body very close to the people. I was privileged to serve in the House for 8 years representing the 3rd Congressional District. And it's a winner-take-all situation. The Republican Party can write the rules. And they can set the terms of the debate. They can determine what comes to the floor and how many amendments you have. The Senate is a different body. You need 60 votes to avoid a filibuster. So a lot of the things that the House will send over from the Republican-controlled House will need 60 votes to pass because Democrats are going to oppose. They've been complaining about us opposing the Obama agenda, trying to make them get 60 votes. Well, the shoe's going to be on the other foot. The repeal of Obama health care will come out of the House probably January the 12th with mm-hmm. a big majority. But for us to repeal the Obama health care bill, we're going to have to get 60 votes in the Senate. That's going to be very difficult to do. But this debate is a good debate. What I want to do is form a partnership with House Republicans on spending, debt issues, reforming health care so we can be singing off the same sheet of music. And in 2012, you'll have a chance to understand who's with you and who's against you.
So what do you think, what are the things that you really think that can be done from your perspective? Where can we make some changes?
I think there's enough Democrats who've got the message from the 2010 election Senator Warner, a Democrat from Virginia, and Senator Chambliss, a Republican from Georgia, have about 30 members working with them to look at the Debt Commission report. President Obama assembled a Debt Commission, bipartisan commission, that came out with some really good ideas. So I think there's some hope that we can take some of those ideas and make them reality. The idea of flattening the tax rates, lowering the tax rates, but doing away with most of the deductions, which generate or special interest driven. Mm-hmm. So the idea of extending the age limit for retirement may be something bipartisan support can be garnered for, because the Debt Commission looked at that issue. I am hopeful that there will be common ground on trying to control the growth and size of the government, and one of the documents we can look at that was bipartisan is the Debt Commission report. So look to the Congress going into that report and picking up some of their ideas.
And one more question. I know you're passionate about veterans. You serve on the different committees and everything. Yeah. What is the future for our veterans?
Well, the future for the country lies in the hands of young men and women who are in Iraq and Afghanistan and throughout the world fighting the war. The one thing that you didn't know much about from the last campaign was the fact that we're in two wars. Did you see one commercial talking about what happens if Iran gets a nuclear weapon? Did you see one commercial talking about should we leave or stay in Afghanistan, and what does it mean if we leave? Did you hear one commercial talking about how far we've come in Iraq, and what does it mean if we win there? One of the things I'm going to do this year is remind the American people and new members of Congress and old members of Congress that we're a nation at war. That means our veterans need to be center stage, because if you want to recruit an all-volunteer service, you better treat them well. I, along with Hillary Clinton, of all people, changed the law so that Guard and Reserve members are now eligible for military health care called TRICARE. They weren't before. That's a good way to keep Guard and Reserve people in the Guard and Reserves and to recruit new people. When it comes to health care for the veteran population, it's an aging population.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We ought to give them vouchers so they can go to a doctor at home and not drive all the way to Augusta or Columbia if you live in Greenwood. Make it easier for a veteran to access quality health care in their own backyard. But the one thing I want to leave you with is that the enemy is out there. And we've been lucky that some of these bombs haven't gone off. So one of the things I'm going to introduce early on this year is legal reforms. We're a nation at war, and the Obama administration looks at the war on terror as a crime. We should not be reading Miranda rights to suspected terrorists.
I agree with you
when
there.
When someone has taken off an airplane who just tried to blow it up, I want to know, is there another plane coming with a bomber on it? We're in a war, so we need to look at that person as an enemy combatant and interrogate them for intelligence gathering purposes and not turn this into a dragnet. You should stop reading Miranda rights to suspected terrorists, because that destroys your ability, in my view, to get good intelligence. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, should never go to an American civilian court. He is a war criminal. He should not be given the same constitutional rights as an American citizen. Military commissions are designed to protect the nation at war. The CIA no longer interrogates terrorist suspects. We need to get them back into the interrogation business. So one of the things I will be doing this coming year is changing our laws so that we can better defend ourselves. And we need to focus on what would happen to this world if Iran possessed a nuclear weapon. If they did possess a nuclear weapon, other countries in the Mideast would feel a need to get a nuclear weapon. And a nuclear arms race in the Mideast is opening a Pandora's box. And we don't have much time left. So we need to really work hard to sanction Iran so they won't go down the road of getting a nuclear weapon.
You know, it's been very nice to meet you here today, and I certainly hope that we can have you on our radio shows back there in Greenwood sometime. We would love to have you on.
Well, let me tell you about Greenwood. You know, I represented the 3rd Congressional District for 8 years, and I remember the first time I went to Greenwood, I didn't know many people in town, but had a little lunch there right there in the middle of town. It's got the widest Main Street in America.
Yes.
It's a good community. It's a textile community. Times have changed. Look how many textile plants have been closed. I grew
Absolutely.
Up in Central, Cannon Mills, And one of the issues that we haven't talked about but is very important is China. China is now a world economic power, and they're cheating us out of jobs. You know, you can't build a wall around America. I believe in free trade, but I also believe in fair trade. And the Chinese currency is undervalued by the Chinese government, giving a discount to Chinese products. So I'm working with Senator Schumer from New York to sanction the Chinese, because when they manipulate the value of their money, it costs American jobs. And one of the things we need to look at in the 21st century is to make sure we have trade policies that are business friendly to America, and that people like China, countries like China, who are trying to gain an advantage over the American worker, that we fight back. So that's one of the big issues I think facing my generation. The economy in Greenwood has changed. You got a big hospital there. Sure. You have Fuji. But there is still a textile industry left in South Carolina, and I'd like to protect it from unfair trade practices. Well, God bless. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much,
Lindsey
Graham.